I love, for you would think obvious reasons, I love baptizing brand new believers like Victoria, like those will be at the beach today. Sometimes folks, especially at the beach, are baptized in rededication. They're at a point in their lives where they want to say, I want to know God in a fresh way, and I want to start over to this day. But most of the time, it's new believers in Christ. They've made that first-time decision for Christ. When you trust Christ as your Savior, it's the beginning of your journey. It's the beginning of your new life in Christ. It's the beginning of trusting Him, truly trusting Him, to give you eternal life and then walk with you and carry you through everything that lies ahead. It's you saying, God, I trust you no matter what, the most unexpected things may happen in my life, God. But I start today with trusting Christ. I start trusting you for the journey as well. When my daughter Caitlin was 12 years old, the annual meeting of Southern Baptists, called the Southern Baptist Convention, met in Phoenix, Arizona. And as Kim and Caitlin and I would do sometimes, we attached a vacation time to the Southern Baptist Convention. So wherever we were, we'd take a couple extra days and we'd take a little vacation time. That year, Caitlin was 12 years old. We were in Phoenix, Arizona. So the obvious trip that not only us but several folks would make would be to the Grand Canyon. So we planned a trip to the Grand Canyon following the Phoenix Convention, rented a car to drive to the Grand Canyon. Now, I remember a lot about that trip, and especially about the Grand Canyon. That was our destination. But I also remember fondly the journey up to the Grand Canyon. Because we stopped along the way. We went to beautiful Sedona. We stopped at other places. But it was uncharted territory for us, unfamiliar domain. So we had a great time pointing out the sights, and Caitlin was sitting in the back seat with our camcorder. Y'all remember those? Yeah. And a lot of you are going, no, we have a phone. Yeah. With a camcorder in the back seat, and she's running that thing, filming the trip out the window and narrating every cactus along the way, and there were a lot of them. And every house out in the middle of nowhere, every mountain rising up in the desert. It was a wonderful, fun, beautiful trip because of the journey itself. Now imagine in your mind for a moment that if before we left Phoenix, I said to Kim and to Caitlin, the journey is nothing to do. It's only the destination that matters. So I'm going to black out the windows in the rental car. It's going to put the construction paper. We're not concerned about the journey. We're only concerned with the destination. Can you imagine doing that? Because we know in our hearts that sometimes the journey matters as much as the destination. Sometimes we learn as much on the journey, and maybe more than we do when we arrive at the destination. And that's a lesson that God wants us to learn as well. Sometimes the journey matters as much as the destination. In our spiritual lives, the problem is we tend to focus on the destination. God, I need healing. God, I need help with my finances. God, my children are out of control. I need help with my children. God, I need help with my child's teacher. God, I need help with this decision. What we're talking about is the destination. Each time we do that, and it's valid because God cares about those things, but our focus tends to be just on the destination, and we forget that with God, often the journey matters as much as the destination. And let me give you a little more practical, concrete example for First Baptist Church folks, especially if you've been here the last 14 going on 15 years. Next year, we will have been in this new location 15 years. And probably a week has not gone by that since I've been here, in over 13 years, the time I've been here, a week has not gone by that someone has asked, when are we going to build that new sanctuary? When are we going to build that new sanctuary? Now, that's a good thing, believe me, building a new sanctuary, adding to the property, that's all good things, but it tends to say and tends to make us focus on the destination. It's saying the destination matters more than the journey. But what God wants us to learn is the journey matters as much as the destination. Maybe there are things God still wants First Baptist Church to do and to learn and to experience about Him before we get to that next destination. The first destination was right here. And we're thinking in our minds the next destination is that next building. But God is saying, you know, the journey matters as much as the destination. That's what the Israelites are going to learn in the next passage of Scripture that we're going to read in their story. As we pick up in the story this morning, We are in Exodus chapter 13. So if you have your Bible, look at the Old Testament book of Exodus and chapter 13. And as we come into the story, we're going to find God's people now having been freed from Egyptian bondage. They have been let go by Pharaoh. More than a million people, some scholars estimate 2 million and maybe a little bit more, Israelites are now packed up and on the move. This is a moment they have been anticipating since Moses and Aaron first arrived and started telling Pharaoh to let God's people go. This is a moment they have been anticipating with wonder and celebration, trepidation and excitement. Can you imagine the conversations that they have had the last several weeks and months? What's it going to be like out there? We've never been there before. What should we take with us? What hazards are there? What hope can we hold out? Some are afraid one day, excited the next day. They're telling their children and their grandchildren to start getting ready. We're going to leave Egypt. It's helpful to remember, these people have never been anywhere else but in Egypt, and they've never known any other life but slavery and bondage in Egypt. For the first time in generations of Israelites, they're going to leave Egypt. And they know that God has promised them a destination. God has promised them what the Bible calls the promised land, the land promised to their forefathers. When Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were called out as the forefathers of the Israelites, God told them, I have a home for you. I have a land that will be yours. And they've been waiting all these generations to get to that land, the destination. So in their minds right now, the destination is what matters most. It's like when we consider that financial health is what matters most. It's a good thing, just like the destination always is a good thing. Financial health, physical health, marital health, well-being in all kinds of ways. We want a happy life. We want a good job. We want great kids. That's the destination. That's what we have in our minds. But God wants us to learn that the journey sometimes matters as much as the destination. When the Israelites are about to leave Egypt, what do you think matters the most in preparation? Think about this for a minute. What would matter the most in preparation? Do they need to be prepared for warfare and combat in case they meet enemies along the way? Do they need to be prepared to grow crops in a foreign land? Maybe they need to be working on their agricultural skills. Do they need to be prepared to handle foreign money, foreign exchange, work out an economy in a foreign place? Do they need to be prepared to work together? Maybe they need to form some committees and teams and work on how to live together in a foreign land, millions of people. That's a big deal. How are we going to associate? How are we going to work together? What is the main thing they need to be prepared for before they depart from Israel? God has one simple answer to that. Just one thing matters. One question to answer, God says. The only thing that matters is whether or not you will trust God. Because we're not leaving Egypt till you decide if you're going to trust God. A lot of times we don't realize that. If you're sitting here this morning and you feel like you're stuck in Egypt, there's only one question to answer. Do you trust God to lead you out? God is a forward motion God. He's not a sit still and stay there God. He is a forward motion God. He leads his people forward. That's what God does. And he does that for people who trust him. So if you find yourself bogged down in unfamiliar territory, you've never been here before, or you're in a situation that feels like Egypt, ask this question: do I trust God to lead me forward? And am I willing to learn what God wants me to learn on the journey to understand, yeah, there's a great destination out there, but we've got to go on the journey to get there. And the journey might matter as much as the destination. It might even matter more. Look with me in Exodus chapter 13. And we want to learn this morning some ways that God leads us forward on our journey. We're going to pick up at verse 17. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 17. As the Bible says, when Pharaoh let the people go, When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them along the road to the land of the Philistines, even though it was nearby, for God said, the people will change their minds and return to Egypt if they face war. So he led the people around toward the Red Sea along the road of the wilderness. And the Israelites left the land of Egypt in battle formation. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the Israelites swear a solemn oath, saying, God will certainly come to your aid. Then you must take my bones with you from this place. They set out from Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to lead them on their way during the day and a pillar of fire to give them light at night so that they could travel day or night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night never left its place in front of the people. God always leads his people forward when we trust him. God always leads us forward when we trust him. I want us to consider this morning three ways that God leads us forward. Understanding this applies to our personal lives as well as it applies to us as a church, our corporate life as the body of Christ. Because there are God always behaves this way. So God always leads his people forward with these three things in mind. He leads us these three ways. First of all, God always leads us forward strategically. God leads us forward strategically. God is a God of planning and preparation. God is a God of purpose and forward motion. And God is a God of strategy and application. The first thing we learn, as we read in verse 17, is that God makes a tactical decision. To get them to their destination, the destination is the same. It's the land of promise. But God says, to get them there, I am not going to take them on what would be actually the shortest route, which in our minds means the most convenient, the easiest way to go. Now, we would opt for that, wouldn't we? Let's take the shortest route. It's always what you want from Google Maps. The shortest, easiest route. We always want the most convenient way. And God explicitly states immediately, I'm not taking them that way, but there's a reason for it. Because they will encounter the Philistines, and they are not ready to do that. Now, we're told right after that that they are marching in a military formation. So does that mean they're not ready for battle? I thought we just told they're not ready, so are we told they are ready? And some of your Bibles may translate it as if they are an army marching in formation. That's not what the text means. What the text means is they're traveling in the most organized fashion. Because in that day and time, military traveled on foot. And if you wanted to move 1 million or 2 million people, you need to organize them in the most organized way that you could. And the best way to organize that many people is the way the military would do it, the way an army would do it. So they are organized in formation. So they would be organized in 50s, 100s, and thousands, probably by family, because that's the most efficient way to move that many people. But the Bible does not mean by that they are armed and ready for battle. So we're told right before then, God says, they're not ready to face the Philistines. So God says, I'm not taking them the easiest route or the shortest route into the promised land. We're going to go another way to the way of the Red Sea. Now, there are a couple things we learn from that. The first one is from God's statement, he's not taking them the way of the Philistines. The Philistines were dangerous people of that day and time. They were, next to the Egyptians, they were just about the most formidable people of the time. They made such a dominant impression on ancient culture in the ancient Near East that the term Palestine is a derivative of Philistine. It comes from the word Philistine. The land itself is named for the Philistines. And they were a coastal people. They lived on the coastline of the Mediterranean Sea. Now, if you know your biblical history, you know that later David did a lot of battle and other kings and other times in the period of Israelites. They constantly fought the Philistines. So they will come into the picture and they will fight against the Israelites in the future and the Israelites will defeat them. But God is saying right now, we're not ready for them. And then the Bible tells us why. Did you catch that? It's not because God could not deliver them Because certainly he will, and not long from now, he'll deliver them from the Egyptian army anyway. It's not because God cannot deliver them. It's because how they will respond. Because they've not yet learned to trust God for the journey, their knee-jerk reaction will be to flee. It will not be to stay and watch God work. It will be to run, and the only place to go is backward. It's to get out and back to Egypt. And that's what they'll do. God knows this. The comfort here is that God knows your journey so well, he knows what lies ahead. He knows what lies ahead. God is very strategic and tactical in the direction he takes your life, the direction he takes your decisions. If you're trusting him and know him well, he is guiding you sometimes to avoid things as well as to get you to the destination. And it may not be the easiest route or the most convenient way that God takes you to get there, but he will take you to get there. And he knows in advance what's up ahead. So he makes the decision whether you got to go through the Philistines or we're going to go another route, but we're still moving forward. Now notice the other route he's going to take and he's going to guide the Israelites on is not easy at all. In fact, it's to the Red Sea. And we learn later as the Israelites arrive at the Red Sea, faced with this barrier, that's about the time we're going to see later that Pharaoh's army catches up with them and they are wedged between the Red Sea, an immovable barrier, and Pharaoh's army behind them. Terrified and afraid, they do what every person does, they complain. Moses, how dare you bring us to this place? God doesn't know what he's doing. Pharaoh's army is going to slaughter us at the Red Sea. And you know the story of the Red Sea, and we're going to come to that wonderful image later. But the point I want to make right now is, while God doesn't take them the easiest route, because he knows what lies ahead, and he knows when they face the Philistines, they'll turn tail and run, he's going to take them to a place where they cannot flee. He's going to take them to a place that appears to be, pay attention, appears to be without hope. Because that's where they get to see God work. That's where they have no choice on the journey but to pay attention to what God is doing and how God will take care of them. That's the place where they will see the great hand of God on the journey, and it will grow their trust just a bit more. Because that's the question. Do you trust God for the journey? Not just the destination, but for the journey itself. And when you arrive at that point, and maybe you're there right now, you're in unfamiliar territory, and that word, no hope, has rolled around in your head. What can I do? What dare I do? God is going to show himself. He's going to show up. He didn't take you the easiest route, but he didn't abandon you either. He knows exactly where you are and exactly what you're going through, and God has an answer for you on the journey. Sometimes Christians say, And I'm not being critical of this statement. It's kind of a contemporary, just a cultural Christian statement. God never gives us more than we can handle. And you may have said that. Don't raise your hand. But you may have said that. Oh, okay, we got some hand raisers. God won't give you more than you can handle. Now, since Joni's the only one that raised her hand, God bless you, Joni. This is no offense, okay? Yes. Well, now listen. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible never says God won't give you more than you can handle. And not only does the Bible not say it, as we're seeing right here in this text, it's unbiblical. Why would God not lead us to a place where we can see only him work? Why would God take us on a journey where he says, well, you're going to be able to handle everything. I'm just going to sit back and watch you rock. Because you can do it all. Good for you. This is how we know that Oprah Winfrey is not God. Because God, he will not hurt you. He will not lead you to harm. He will not damage you. But he wants you to be where you've got to look to him and say, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this. Because that's part of the journey. And we need that part of the journey well before we get to the destination. God leads us forward strategically. Secondly, God leads us forward faithfully. And by this I mean God is always faithful to his promises and to us. God is always faithful to his promises and to us. Verse 19 almost seems like it deviates from the main story. It's like suddenly we're talking about Joseph. Why are we talking about Joseph? Well, if you know the story of the Bible in the Old Testament, you know that when Joseph died in Egypt, and Joseph was a hero to the Israelites, and the story of Joseph is a magnificent story of how God worked in his life, raised him up to prominence in Egypt, that he in turn took care of his family, and the Israelites came into Egypt because of that. We know that story. But remember that when Joseph died, Joseph told the people of God, I want to be buried in the promised land. So listen to what he said. And the fact that Moses is repeating it tells you this story has stayed alive. With all God's people for generations, the people of God have remembered the words of Joseph. When you leave Egypt, take me with you. This is not my home. I want to be buried back home. I want to be buried in the promised land. Take me with you. In other words, Joseph is saying, you're not staying here. Maybe you'll be here a generation, two generations, five generations, but God's promise never changes. One day you will leave Egypt, and when you go, take me with you. Because this is not my home. This is not my home. God is faithful to his promises. Today, God is fulfilling yesterday's promises. And your history reveals those promises of God unfolding. If you think about it, your history with God, if you've been trusting God in the journey, your history is a constant reminder of God showing up, God working, God leading you forward when you trust him. It's also a reminder that when you do not trust God, you tend to stay put and struggle on your own. But when you trust God to lead you forward, even if it's not the easiest, most convenient route, God takes you forward and you get to see God work. And when you look behind you, you see your history of God working. And you can know that God always fulfills his promises. Now today we find those promises in his word, in scripture. And God always fulfills those promises. Today he is fulfilling yesterday's promises. Tomorrow he'll fulfill those today as he continues to lead you forward when you trust him. If we can once again use our imaginations, imagine for a moment the people of God carrying, well, we'll say a coffin, a sarcophagus, a box with Joseph's bones out of Egypt. And the rumors spread throughout God's people. Is it true? We dug up Joseph and we've got his bones on the back wagon? What's happening about that? Well, we made him a promise because he believed God's promise. And every time we remember those bones are with us, we remember that one of the greatest leaders of the Israelites still believes God. And that faith is transferable to every generation. He's with us because he believed God. I can believe God too. Joseph is still making an impact on us with faith. It's still ringing in our ears. God never intended to leave you in Egypt. God's intention is to take you out because he promised you your own place, your own land. God will not leave you behind. Just follow him forward because he's always faithful. I want to pause here and mention something also related to us as a church, but also to us personally. And it's a distinction that's important for us to make in our spiritual lives, and that's the difference between history and nostalgia. History is looking back and seeing God work and knowing that God has been working in our lives. That's our history, and our history translates into our hope. We know that's how God worked. It's the reason King David collected artifacts from those he killed so he could look at those artifacts and be reminded of his history, that God showed up when he needed God the most, and God would do it again because God is always faithful. That's history, and that's important. And it's what grounds us in the work of God and in the legacy of generations. Nostalgia, however, is worshiping history. Nostalgia is constantly saying, I want it to be like that. Whatever happened to that? I want to go back there. Nostalgia is pining for the past without putting it in perspective. We've got to be careful, personally, as well as a church. Dismiss nostalgia, but grab onto history that reminds us of God's faithfulness and where that He will always lead us into the future. So not only does God lead us forward strategically, and God leads us forward faithfully, God leads us forward personally. God leads us forward personally. I love this last part of this brief description of the story in which we're told God never left them. And not only did He not leave them, He gave them physical signs of His appearance. And these were not depictions. These were not illustrations. This was God showing up in the cloud and in the fire, just as He had shown up to Moses in the burning bush. This was God's reminder to these people that had never had to trust Him to go forward, that while they were in unfamiliar territory, they were in places they had never been before, that God would not leave them, and not only would He not leave them or abandon them, that He would always show them the way. He would always lead them forward. As long as they were looking upward, as long as they were looking forward, they could see God on the road ahead. They would say, well, there He is. We go that way. We go that way. God wants us to go that way. And they would look at each other and they would say, you know, we've never been here before. We have no idea what's coming next, but God's with us. There He is right there, moving forward. And you know what the text means? It means that no matter how many Israelites there were, they could all see the pillar of cloud at the day and the pillar of fire by night. Nobody was left out. Nobody was left behind. They were all set free from Egypt for the same purpose. They were all set free from Egypt for the same purpose, to follow God to the destination He had for them. And they were all set free to learn the journey along the way. To be a part of what God's doing is what it means to come to Christ. And the day you trusted Christ as your Savior is the day you set out on that journey to follow Christ. Whatever's going on in your life right now, it's part of that journey. And the only question you have to answer is whether or not you'll trust God. That's all. Do I trust God? Do I follow God? Do I try to collect my instincts and handle this myself? Or will I believe and trust God? That's the only question to answer. And when you answer that question, yes, you're reminded, God is always leading me forward. He's always with me. He never leaves me or forsakes me in any way. Mary McLaren is an interesting lady, an unusual kind of lady, and she was interviewed by the Washington Post last year in an article about unusual conditions that people have, not diseases, but conditions. And she has a condition called developmental topographical something. We'll call it dysfunction. It's okay with y'all. But the short for it is DTD. DTD, regardless of whether we remember the name of it or not, it's an extraordinary and debilitating condition. And what it means is her internal map doesn't work. Now, see, we take that for granted. We take for granted that when we came to church this morning, we'd know how to get home, that we would remember the way to, from. We remember the way to the grocery store. We remember the way to our child's school. We remember the way here. We remember the way there. And not only that, we remember the way back. Why? Because God has designed us and embedded in us sort of an internal GPS, a mapping system. And in that mapping system, we recognize our terrain. And we say, oh, this is familiar. Yes, this is the way I go. And we do it without even thinking about it. Mary doesn't have that ability. She's completely without it. She's never had a head injury. She doesn't have a disease. But she's one of the few people in the world alive that's incapable of mentally mapping one direction or the other. And it was interesting in the interview, she said, one of the most frustrating things is to go where I mean to go, but not remember how I got there. Think about that. To go where I mean to go, but not to know how I got there. For our spiritual journey, God is mapping it out for us because He wants us to know how we got there. God is not darkening the windows and saying, the journey doesn't matter. Pay attention to the destination. That's all that matters. No. God is saying, I want you looking around, looking up, paying attention, trusting me, and growing in that trust because what you learn on the journey will matter at the destination. What you learn on the journey will matter at the destination. And you'll be glad you paid attention. So you're in unfamiliar territory. You hadn't been in this place before. This is a difficult part of life. You're navigating it now, or you're about to navigate it, but this is unfamiliar territory for you. How do you prepare? How do you prepare? You can go to church just like you did today. Good for you. You can take classes. Maybe you need to do that. You can get a better job. Maybe you need to do that. You can raise your kids differently. You can raise money, pay off bills. There's all kinds of things you can do to prepare for a journey in an unfamiliar place. But you know what really matters is answering that question. Do you trust God? Do you trust God at this part of the journey? Because He knows what comes next. And He knows how to get you where He wants you to be. And if you'll listen and trust Him, when you arrive at the destination, you'll be so glad you did, that you trusted God.